letting me ask you these questions. I really appreciate it. I know it's going to take some time. You could probably be doing something else with it'll help me, I'm sure. I'll ask you, I don't know, 10 or 12 questions, and if you would, just please answer them as long or as short as you want to.
Sure.
Your bonus amount. It's been reported, well, I've seen it at 25 and I've seen it at 35.
Well.
Is either one right?
Not one. I got $10,000 to sign.
Uh-huh.
My mother got $1,000 to go back to Italy. And then for 2 years, my salary was, what was it? $5,000, I believe it was, or $6,000, I forget.
I think six was the minimum at that
time.
Yeah,
that was the minimum.
Yeah.
So you're talking 10, 1, 6, and 6, whatever that adds up to.
That's 23.
So that's the so-called bonus.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Okay. I have found that what has been reported and what is in actual fact are frequently very far apart.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of the ball team wanted to play philanthropists, you know.
Oh yeah, looks good.
Not that it wasn't a good bonus, but you know, not they used to you know really balloon them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I guess is big. The actual bonus was 10, and because the salary you had to get, so that's
right.
That's
so they always lumped everything up, and it looked good from that point of view.
It sounds good. Good story.
Yeah.
Who was a scout who signed you for the Tigers?
Well, actually, the guy that signed, that scouted me and signed me were two different people. The guy that was scouting me was Pete Fox. He was in the old...
sure, I remember him. Yeah.
He was a Tiger outfielder.
Right.
But the farm director at that time was John McHale.
Uh-huh.
And he later became president of the Milwaukee Braves and Montreal Expos and such.
I just talked to a former teammate of yours, Jim Brady.
Oh, and yeah, he's a left-handed pitcher.
Right.
Now president of some university.
Jacksonville University,
yeah.
And John McHale is on the board of trustees of the university.
Yes, and that, what goes around comes around.
I guess so.
It sure does.
How many teams were after you?
Well, I don't know. You know, they tell me all of them were after me, but, I, you know, as far as making contact, Chicago was real interested, the Giants. I mean, you know, once people heard that I was going to be signing for a bonus, a lot of teams just stayed away because they were, you know, adverse to signing bonus ball players.
Sure.
Week before I was supposed to sign with the week before, well, a week after, yeah, I was supposed to go to Chicago and work out with the Cubs. Pete, what was the guy with the Cubs that was signed with the Phillies? Luca Dello was going to bring me into Chicago, but then I signed a week earlier.
So the Cubs were the I guess the second most pursuant team.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you signed out of high school.
I was in first semester at the University of Michigan at the time.
Okay, so you played? Did you play? Well, back then they didn't have. Freshmen had played JV.
No, freshmen couldn't play, so we just played some exhibition games.
How long had you been being scouted? You've been scouted since high school?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what, American Legion, that sort of thing?
Well, I played in what was called the Detroit Amateur Baseball Federation, the DABF.
Uh-huh.
I played on some pretty good teams. Played on Trumbull Chevrolet, played on a team called Molars, R.G. Molars.
Uh-huh.
In fact, on the Trumbull team, I think there were five of us that made the big leagues.
Well, that's pretty good. Who were they?
Geez, offhand, I can't. I guess, let me, you want me to, you got some time for a minute?
Sure.
Just a minute. I'm just looking at a bat here that's got some names on it. Well, besides myself, there was a guy named Jerry Davies.
Yeah, remember him, pitcher.
Detroit, then Arnold Early.
Uh-huh, another pitcher.
John Sass, catcher.
Don't remember him.
Let's see. Bertoia. So there were, I guess, four of us then.
That's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
You were a second baseman at that time?
I played shortstop in the Sandlots.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. And then when they signed me, they had me working out at second base. And then when I got sent to the minors, they made me into a third baseman.
You were living in Detroit then, obviously.
I live in Windsor. I lived in Windsor all my life.
Oh, okay, so that's just a hop, skip, and a jump, isn't it?
It's just right across the river.
Yeah. Okay, do you know whose roster spot you took when you joined the Tigers?
No idea.
Most guys don't know.
They signed me after, well, they signed me August 31st, I think, which is the...
Oh, so you could...
You could call up a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, okay.
As far as the roster spot, the next couple of years, I have no idea.
You remember your first game? You batted September 22nd, 1953, and struck out.
Yep, got Satchel Paige.
No kidding.
That's right.
Well, that's something to remember.
Yeah, it sure is.
Was that Browns in or Close Browns, I guess, at that point?
St. Louis Browns, yep, September 22nd.
You remember your first hit?
My first hit was against a guy named Bob Chackles.
I remember him, yeah.
The next year, which was a home run.
First hit was a home run?
Yeah.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
What kind of reception? I've gotten just about any kind of answer on this. Some guys were received very well and taken under the wings of their teammates. Other boys were treated as outcasts. How did the Tigers greet you?
Very well. Guys like Pat Mullen, Steve Suchak, Johnny Pesky, they were real good to me.
That's good.
Yeah, very good. I was kind of a quiet kid and, kind of... Well, I say quiet and didn't know popping off, that kind of stuff.
That's got to be appreciated.
I talked to Brady a little bit on that one.
Why is that?
Well, he had a rough time, I think.
Did he really?
From what I remember, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't. He did. I asked him that question. He was rather noncommittal on it. Well, you guys, you were knee deep in Bonus Babies.
Yeah, I
guess,
I think 51 or 52, they'd ended up in last place. 53, they were, and I guess they were going for some kind of a youth movement, yeah.
And you and Kayvon.
Trying to show the fans that they were trying to build something.
Yeah. Well, they did well. The Tigers did very well with who they signed.
You got K-Line.
Well, that right there makes it well. But you were one of the more successful Bonus Babies. Bob Miller was at least a useful pitcher.
Uh-huh.
Steve Burris and George Thomas both contributed
sure
a little bit. And most of the other teams, you look at the list of their Bonus Babies, and, you know, all you say, you read a name and you say, who is he?
Yeah.
So the Tigers must have looked into it a little bit more deeply than some of them. How did Fred Hutchinson accept you?
Very well. Fred was very, very protective, kind of a gruff individual on the surface, but very, very sensitive when it came down to, relationship with me.
A lot of people say...
When I signed, one of the enticements, I guess, he was saying that if I signed with Detroit, because they were trying to give me a sign. See, I was working out with him for about a month. I had no intention of signing. Because I wanted to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then McHale came over and talked, and I was working out with Detroit every game during their homestands. They had me over there working out, and I just thought I was going to work out. And Hutchinson said if I signed with Detroit, he'd buy me two suits. And he did. Later on, he bought me two suits.
Everybody who ever played with him or for him describes him like he's a gruff on the outside, but just a fine, fine man.
Yeah, fine individual.
What about coaching? Now, in the pitchers I've spoken with, they have said that the coaching was, in not just Detroit, but with all the teams, they didn't get much coaching. They weren't helped much. The position players didn't have this complaint. They seemed to think that they did get attention.
Well, besides the coaches, Billy Hitchcock was the coach. Johnny Hopp was a coach at that particular time. I had guys like Pesky who used to work with me a lot. Another second baseman, I forget the guy that held up the Queen Mary ship.
Oh, Pretty. Jerry Pretty.
Jerry Pretty.
Yeah.
Guys like that, the older guys are kind of on their way out. I guess they felt no threat from anybody, so they worked with you a lot.
Okay, that's good to hear, because I've heard from a lot of the position players that there was help from the pitchers.
Oh, yeah, a lot of help.
That's good. Well, you continued to go to college, though.
Yeah, well, see, I lost my scholarship to the University of Michigan, but I went back to Assumption University here in Windsor and graduated from there in 1958.
What did you graduate with?
Just a Bachelor of Arts.
What did you use it? Had you used it?
Oh, yeah. I've been teaching now for over 30 years.
Oh, yeah? What do you teach?
Teach history. I'm the social science head at our school. In fact, this is my last year. I'll be retiring after this year.
High school?
High school, that's right.
Oh, you don't.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good career.
Oh, yeah.
You scouted for a while.
Yeah, after I scouted during the summer for a number of years, but I didn't find it. It was okay, but I think when I scouted, I became more appreciative of my own talents because I didn't see too much out there.
It's awful hard. I've got a son who plays college ball, and I go and see. Well, I've seen his play forever, and I used to coach him. There is so little talent, at least I'm in Kentucky here.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. I don't see how they're going to expand the major leagues if this is the talent pool they're going to draw from.
Well, although, the United States and Canada and Mexico, Puerto Rico, it's a big, big territory.
I guess there's some good ones out there somewhere.
Well, you're going to find them somewhere.
Okay, you went... in 56, they sent you to Charleston.
Well, in 56, I actually made the big league roster a starting lineup without a year in the minor leagues. In 56, I started as the starting second baseman, and started out not too badly, and then didn't hit the ball as well as probably, I hit the ball fairly well, but at somebody, and then I started making a few errors, start pressing, and they said, well, it would be best, to send you down and get some experience, which they did in 56. I went to Charleston from May to Labor Day, which is the season down there. I led the team in RBIs. I hit a respectable .289 going into the last week of the season. I was hitting .290 something and went 0-for-5 or 6, and then .280. So I had that was my only year in the minor leagues.
It was a good solid year too, all the way across as you look at it.
Yeah, I look back and it was good.
Well, you came back and you were a darn near an everyday player.
That's right. 1957. I didn't start the season, but who was the third baseman? Jeez.
Ray Boone.
No, it was, they put him at
first base. They moved him across the diamond.
They got him from Jim, he passed away a couple of years ago. It was with the old Philadelphia Athletics, Jim.
Finnegan. Yeah.
In fact, they roomed us together. Real nice person. And he started, and about 2 weeks into the season, he got something happened to his thumbs or something, I think. And I started to play and had a hell of a start. And hell, I was leading the league there for about a couple of weeks.
I remember that.
Yeah.
You were batting 400 into May, I remember.
Yeah, then things catch up with you. I got hurt my arm, and I got in the doghouse, all that crap. And I ended up the season, I think, hitting .275 in and out of the lineup after that.
Well, you spent a couple of years in the same general status. You were there in the lineup most of the time.
That's right. It was Detroit 57, 58. I'd start to do pretty well, not well, sit down, and kind of a sputtering type of thing, yeah.
Well, you were traded to Washington for 59. How did you feel being traded?
Well, like everybody says, it'd be an opportunity for you, less pressure, playing away from home. And I think I had some merit. Although that year, again, I started well, didn't do too well. And then in 1960 was my better year, which I thought was my best productive year as far as playing every day. They switched, they put Killebrew over at first, played me at third, and I did pretty well. I hit .265, and had a pretty, I thought, a pretty good year.
It's a good, solid year. Nobody could complain about it.
And the next year in Minnesota, which, I put a lot of pressure on myself. I said, if you have two good years in those days, if you had two good years, you stayed for five,
Right.
And it couldn't get started. It sputtered, and Then they traded me to Kansas City, then I got traded back to Detroit, so, and that was the beginning of the end.
And you left the majors. You're only 27 years old.
I think it was 27, 28, yeah.
Did you retire then, or did you try to?
They sent me out to Denver, and then they sent me to Syracuse for that remaining year of 62. And then I went to spring training with Detroit again in 63. And they sent me out to Syracuse, and I played there. They had young kids coming up. They had the Don Wirtz and the Ray Oilers and all those kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't playing every day, so I said, they'd actually talked me into coming back and playing in the minor leagues. Don Lennon, actually talked me back into coming. I said, look, if I get a shot, fine. But I went down there, and, I was just, they made me a coach and all that shit. But I was, I think I hit 322 or something like that, part-time. And came August, I said, nothing's happening. I called the ball club and said, look, if I'm not in the big leagues by whatever, September, I said, I'm going home, and I went home. Because I was teaching in the wintertime, every year.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a job waiting for me. I said, hey, things aren't looking up, so that was it.
Any regrets?
I had a family, a couple of kids.
Any regrets?
Not really. I think I was ready. I was just not getting any better. That's all. And I think I was down.
You'd been a professional ball player, still not even 30 years old. You've been a professional ball player for 12 years. That's quite a while.
Yeah. It was. I look back and some guys have great careers. I think. Like most ball, I think most of us ball players struggle,
Yeah.
It's a struggle. It's not the rose-colored glasses thing that everybody looks at it.
But you look through the baseball encyclopedia, you see that probably 90% of the guys would have taken your career and been very happy with it.
Yeah. I'm very happy. One of the few Canadians that have, played that long. And I don't know what you're going to ask a question about, whether the bonus rule was good, bad, or indifferent.
That's the next question, in your opinion.
Yeah.
To you, what do you think?
Yeah, I look back, and I really think if I had to do over again, I think if I'd have gone down to the minor, I look at that year I went down to AAA ball, hadn't played a year of minor league ball, maybe played 15, 20, 30 games at the most in the big league, and did that well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, if I'd had a couple of good, solid years in the minors then come up, I think I'd have been a better ball player. Yeah, I think emotionally sitting on a bench as a kid and not playing and wondering whether you belong there and then being put in situations where you're not comfortable,
mm-hmm.
I think that was tough. That was tough on a young kid.
Well, I bet it was.
Yeah.
Wayne Causey signed with Baltimore.
Yeah, I know Wayne.
Okay, well, he told me, just spoke with him yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He said that the same thing you said, basically, but he said if it were not for the bonus rule, for the bonus, he may never have played. If they hadn't offered him that money, he would have stayed in college or would have gone on the
college. I would have, too.
And he says he doesn't know what would have happened 2 years down the road.
Yeah,
3 years.
That's the thing. You never, like I say, how life would have changed, whatever. I mean, I don't know. A lot of different things changed because of certain decisions here and there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain I wouldn't have signed a major league contract until I'd graduated from college.
But it's pretty obvious to you, I think it's pretty obvious to anybody that can look at your record, that had you been able to spend those two previous years in the minor leagues, it would have...
I think I would have been a better ball player. Yeah. Looking back, if you'd asked me this the 20, 30 years ago when I was still playing, I would have made some kind of rationalization and all that kind of stuff. But I think as time goes on, you look back with a very objective eye and said, hey, I think it would have been better. I think it was probably the stupidest rule they ever made.
Yeah, well, I don't, yeah.
Although, you got guys like Kaline and who else? There's a couple other guys I was reading about just
recently. Killebrew, Koufax.
Koufax, but those guys are they're one in a million.
Yeah, right. But it's surprising when you look at the bonus babies and look at their records. Most people condemn it because they think of guys like appeared in the game, Tommy Qualters, this is what they think of. But then there's a lot, well, there's not many K-lines and Koufaxes, of course, but there's guys like Cleet Boyer and Dick Schofield.
Sure, Boyer was a bonus player.
Sure. You, Causey was a good ball player for several years. There's a lot of good ball players came out of this.
Yeah.
We don't know how much better. They've
probably been better.
Yeah, we can't tell that, but there's no telling what could have accomplished. Well, you know, I appreciate this. I'm going to try to write a book, as I told you in the letter. It's going to be hard. The last book I wrote took me 2 years because I've got to eat in the meantime. So this will probably take that long, and I don't know, you know, if it'll ever come to pass, but I'm going to try.
Well, I appreciate it. The only thing I would hope that it's not one of these books where it's nothing but ripping people apart.
I've
seen some of those books come out, and, you know, we're human beings still, you know. We're not just ball players.
Okay. Now, nobody gets ripped. I do a lot of, I interview a lot of ball players. In fact, if it's all right with you, I may submit this as just an interview to a magazine.
Uh-huh.
If it's not all right, then I won't do it. But anything I submit anyhow before, no matter where it goes, to book or magazine, whatever, I will show to you before I send it in, because I don't want to ever be misquoted or say I misquoted somebody. But no, life's too short. You can find people ripped apart too much. No, I try to report facts. Try to make people look good. Sometimes awful hard to do, but
yeah,
I try.
Yeah.
Do you still get fan mail, by the way? It's been a long time.
I get at least 5 to 10 letters a month, but a lot of those are from these people who are making money off us. You know, they want autographs and autograph cards, and then
mm-hmm.
They keep them as their collectibles, and they're making a lot of money.
Davey Williams, if you remember, played with the Giants.
Yeah.
He said he got one time 50 of the same pictures of himself from a fellow to sign.
Really?
And he said that the guy said he was a school teacher and he was going to give them out to his.
I got the same letter from the same guy.
The guy, it turns out, now Davey signed them. He said not 3 months later he got 50 more.
Yeah.
I found out, and this is just purely by accident, that this guy. He's selling these pictures. I mean, obviously, he's selling these pictures.
He wrote the guy didn't send me the pictures. He wrote me a letter first and said to me, "Is it okay if I sent the pictures?" And I never even answered him back. I'd heard from another ball player in Detroit. This guy had sent that to him, too. And, you know, they're making money.
I don't see anything wrong with a man or a kid or somebody wanting an autograph.
No. And you can tell who they are.
Yeah, I think you can, yeah.
Yeah.
But, it's a tremendous business right now, I guess.
Oh, sure is.
It's something else.
If I'd have known that, I'd have kept some of the ones I had.
I guess some of those ball players back in your day are worth something today.
Oh, absolutely.
Gee whiz. Yeah. I've got your autograph. It's on a baseball. 1955, I think it is, Tiger's ball.
Uh-huh. Where'd you get it? Did you play an exhibition game somewhere?
No, Ray Boone was the biggest hero I ever had when I was a kid. And I wrote him, me and about four other friends formed a Ray Boone fan. In fact, you worried the death out of me because I was afraid you were going to take over third base while he was there. We got what we call the Ray Boone fan club.
Yeah.
And I wrote him, and the other kids lost interest right away. Heck, I didn't. I wrote him and told him that, and he sent a picture and a ball.
Ray was a class guy. In fact, I had Ray when I was, you know, when I was playing with Detroit. We used to have him over to dinner at my parents' house a lot.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I used to bring Ray, Torgerson, God bless his soul, just passed away recently. Finnegan, Foytak. My mother used to be a real good cook, and I used to bring the guys over from time to time.
That's good.
Yeah.
A lot of the Tigers seem to be. I talked to Foytak a while back. He is an awfully nice fellow.
And a real sense of humor.
He really is.
He's a funny guy.
Had me laughing so hard.
That's right.
I taped these things, and I was laughing so hard I couldn't hear half of his replies.
He is funny. In fact, he just says hello to me, and I break up laughing. Yeah.
Okay, Reno, thank you very much.
Brent.
I will, if I send this to a magazine, I'll send you a copy ahead of time. Otherwise, it might be a year down the road before I get anything in writing for a book.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.